This is North Shore Today. Hi, everyone. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. In today's program, we'll be checking in with Lynn Item News Editor Steve Krause.
But there's still another inherent problem that I have with them, is that the playing field on debates aren't level. You know, if you get somebody like Hillary Clinton, who I think did a very good job in the debate, but that's her strength, that's her form, that's what she does well. I think Bernie Sanders was all over the place. Sometimes he seemed a little bit uncomfortable with the process, but he got more comfortable as he went along.
Steve Krause and some of the news stories of the day today here on North Shore Today. Well, again, I'm Bill Newell, and along with Rick Moore, and here we are on a Thursday here on the North Shore, and here on North Shore Today, and a couple of North Shore sports stories we'll get to at some point during our broadcast. Steve Krause will be joining us, as we mentioned. And if you check down below on the post today, we have a quick little YouTube clip of Jay Leno, who talks a little bit about writing, not about writing a joke, that was yesterday's video clip, but about booking guests. So it's kind of a quick little clip with Jay Leno from Andover, from a North Shore guy. You know, Rick, I remember years ago I used to battle with Dick Kelly at Boston College when I was doing the BC games, and he was a Leno fan, and I was the other guy's fan at the time, but I later on came over to being a big Jay Leno fan. And he was a pretty funny guy, had some pretty good bits. And you know something? I looked at there was a rating survey, Rick, on the late night TV shows. I did not know this. We talked a little bit about how our viewing habits have changed. You know how old the average viewer of The Tonight Show is?
Of The Tonight Show?
Of The Tonight Show. Currently. Tonight Show.
Currently. I'll say mid-30s.
No, it's like 60 years old.
Oh boy!
That is the average viewing age of the Tonight Show. It's the highest rated show, but it is an older audience, and that's interesting. Like you said, I would have not picked the number 60. That's for sure.
Well, you know, it sort of makes sense because of Leno following Johnny Carson, and Johnny Carson was the best I've ever seen, and I imagine all people in my generation, the baby boomers. We're sort of addicted to that. So you watch Leno and then you watch Jimmy Fallon. But no, I didn't know that. And I don't know, maybe guys stay up later. They don't watch that. They watch the sports channels first and then watch the, the younger people watch the later shows later.
Right. Well, anyway, we got that.
Anyway, I did take a look at the Seinfeld thing yesterday, and also was able to put Dave Jellerson up on our North Shore Today post from yesterday, and the Beverly Girls cross country team is continuing their legacy of perfection, excellence if not perfection. But I watched the Seinfeld thing, and I was surprised that it didn't give a little more. Was this a tease for a show? Do you know where the video came from? Was he getting ready for some kind of a concert or a show on television?
No, I don't really know. It was just kind of a little feature, yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting to say the least, but I guess it's all in the delivery.
Yeah, that's what it is. Something about nothing. What is what we're all about here? Something about nothing.
Well, that's for sure.
As we look at some of the other news stories here locally, I think a lot of folks in the area are probably impacted by the flood rezoning that took place a few years ago, which people that never paid flood insurance now have to pay flood insurance, whether they actually have a chance of ever really being flooded in a storm. And the town of Nahant is trying to remap some of their flooding, and so flooding zones, rather. So, I don't know whether, that will be impacting other cities and towns around the North Shore or not, but it's one of those things that did come in. I guess it probably came in after some of these storms of the last few years. And so, anyways, that's a story that's in the item today. Pretty interesting story about different areas of flooding. And again, these flood zones were just simply expanded, and I think basically to cover, so folks would pay in to cover some of these disasters that had happened over the last several years. So an interesting story there, and again, probably impacts a lot of people up and down the North Shore.
Well, in a similar vein, Bill, there's a story in the Gloucester Times this morning about Gloucester City councilors hoping to limit some back shore development. There is a piece of property on the back shore where the owner has the right to build a house on the ocean side. So you have a road going on the back shore, and then you have the ocean side, and then you have the land side. And on the ocean side, there is a strip of land where you could conceivably build a house, and apparently he wants to. And that's upsetting the neighbors, of course, because of the spectacular view. But also, I think of all the storms we've had in the past, those of us who are old enough to remember, where houses are actually washed into the sea, and then you have insurance companies and federal government bailouts and so on. So it's very interesting that the councilors, there are two city councilors who are trying to limit or prevent the construction of any homes along the ocean side of Atlantic Road on the city's scenic back shore. So, you know, it's water related, a little different from what you're talking about, of course. But the idea is to protect the land and, you know, try to get people maybe to save themselves from themselves. I think of those homes that are built on sand that get washed away every 20 years or so.
There was a story I read, Rick, just in the last day or two, and I don't even know where it was now, but it was about this builder to build a house on the shore, on the coast, but they were going to anchor it into the rocks. So I believe that's what it was, into the granite. So, you know, I can see that. You know what I mean? I guess if it's going to be anchored in, just like you could build a bridge across water, it would probably be the same building, you know, structure that you're going to anchor it down in some way. I don't know if I'd want to live there, but your house would never move. But you know, it could get beat up pretty good with a storm, I suppose, depending on what Mother Nature throws at that particular site. But anyways, those houses would not get washed away. They might not be anything around there, you know, at some point, but they would not get washed away under that kind of construction.
And as you know, Bill, where you live, if you take a drive along coastal North Shore, anywhere from Quincy on up and maybe from Quincy on down as well, look at the seawalls. And there's damage in every single seawall in coastal Massachusetts. You know, in Gloucester, they're rebuilding the seawall along the boulevard partially. It just gets hammered. And those are built of granite. And they get washed away. They get clobbered and smashed. So, yeah, the structure, you know, the beams, the stilts may stay, but at some point, Mother Nature gets pretty nasty. But I don't know. It's interesting because neighbors, you know, it's always, oh yeah, I'd love to have a house here. But then if you live there and someone starts building across the street from you, say, no, I don't want that. So it's one of those on the one hand, but on the other hand, it may have some practical applications too. One other Gloucester note, Bill, maybe.
Sure.
Okay, Greg Verga finished third in the preliminary mayoral race in Gloucester last month, and he has been urged to commit to a write-in campaign to retain his seat as a city councilor at large, and he is doing it. Apparently, he has filed for the papers necessary to get a sticker campaign going for a write-in, and he's going to do it. I don't know the particulars on what you need to do that, but Greg Verga will be running for re-election as an at-large city councilor. He won't be on the ballot. It has to be a write-in thing. So kind of interesting there. He had said he didn't, you know, wasn't going to do it. He'd take the 18 months off and then think about running again in 18 months. But he also said that he's been urged by many people. One of the things that he's thinking about is that it's possible you could have pretty much a whole new city council. And there may be as many of at least four new city councilors due to attrition and so on. So he was just thinking about, you know, some experience on the council. Plus, he likes to serve. So we'll keep tuned to that.
All right. Sounds good. Well, Steve Krause is just ahead with us, and then we'll be back, talk a little bit of high school football with you and some other North Shore sports notes. So hang in there with us on this Thursday here on North Shore Today.
This is MSONewsSports.com. We are joined by Steve Krause, the news editor at the Daily Item in Lynn, with our weekly visit. And Steve, coming off this week's big Democratic debate, first one, next one still, I think, a month away, a good month away, I guess, the next Democratic debate. And I guess it was pretty well viewed, 10 million people from last night at the CNN debate or two nights ago, whenever this airs on Thursday. But Steve, I guess the question is, you know, your take on it. And I have one take I want to share, and I've watched some of the debate post reaction. I want to share my views with you in a second here.
Well, I have kind of a curious reaction to the debate because in today's paper, I wrote in Wednesday's paper, I wrote something about the fact that I think they're a complete waste of time. That there are other ways that candidates can get their message across, and if the debates at one time represented a chance for them to kind of get out from their media coordinators and coaches and focus groups and actually connect, that time is gone because they're just not like that anymore. And then last night, we get one, you know, that's Tuesday night, we get one that was actually lively and informative, and but there's still another inherent problem that I have with them, is that the playing field on debates aren't level. You know, if you get somebody like Hillary Clinton, who I think did a very good job in the debate, but that's her strength, that's her forum, that's what she does well. I think Bernie Sanders was all over the place. He's sometimes he seemed a little bit uncomfortable with the process, but he got more comfortable as he went along. Chafee had the best line of the night when he finally told Anderson Cooper to shut up and that he wanted to be able to answer his question. Not in that many words, but I clapped in the privacy of my own home. I understand he wanted to give the debate a little bit of an edge because debates don't have edges anymore. But there's a fine line between doing that and being rude. And I thought a couple of times he crossed it. It was, you know, it was a good debate. It was informative. I got, you know, the Republicans, to me, they're all, except for Trump, he's obviously not bland. But the rest of them all seem to be to me.
Well, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking, maybe they should have put Donald Trump in that debate, too. You know, why not? Dump him in, you know. But, Steve, here's my thought on the debate. This is my thought. People are all, I watched some of the news last night, watched some of it this morning. And they're saying Bernie Sanders, he talking about a Trump card. He said, we're tired of hearing about the Hillary emails. We're tired of it, of the damn emails. We're tired of it. And people saying, well, why did he do that? Because it only helps Hillary. My take is, though, is that he's very shrewd. He's very smart. That wasn't an off-the-cuff remark. It was very well planned because he wants to appear to not to take on Hillary in this debate, knowing that her biggest problems lie ahead of her. And they don't have to, you know, the candidates aren't going to go after her, but apparently. But things are going to be happening in Hillary in the news world with Hillary Clinton, and Bernie Sanders knows it. And he wants at least half of that 40% of the vote that she has, and then that puts him over the top.
But I also think, too, that there's been talk in some circles that he could possibly be a running mate to her. And it would make sense because she is, I think, with my limited amount of knowledge on this stuff, I think she is seen as not liberal enough for some Democrat liberals. I think she is seen to be more of a centrist. There is that entire wing of the party that she's going to have to go and get. And I think that wing of the party is where Sanders' strengths are. So I think in terms of political demographics, I think he could be a very valuable running mate to her. I think he knows it. And I also think he knows himself well enough that he's not going to just sit there with his arms crossed, you know, and be Dan Quayle and go golfing every day. He's going to want to be a part of the process. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think he's playing his cards shrewdly. But the other side of that is I'm sick of the emails, too. I'm sick of Benghazi. I'm sick of the emails. If there is something, all of these political witch hunts, regardless of which party it is, if there is something that you can find that absolutely proves what you're trying to say, then produce it or shut up. And that's my view.
All right. Now, Steve, there was a story in the paper this week in the item, and I love these stories because there are stories about people doing good things. And, you know, I know the news is, if it bleeds, it leads, or whatever, you know, that on, you know, for some TV. But the Rotary story and the Camp Rotary story, which you had earlier this week, tell us about that and a little bit of the background of that story.
Well, Rotary has been around. Camp Rotary has been around since 1921 when the Rotary Club purchased the land in Boxford on Stiles Pond. They built the camp. For years, the Lynn YMCA ran it, but then they ran into a little bit of a financial situation and they either the late 80s or the early 90s, and they this group called Youth Management Services, I'm not exactly sure, I wrote the story, but it's 3 days ago, so took over the management of it, and they're committed It's about a $700 bill per week for people to go there. And, you know, the Rotary Club is in Lynn. There's certainly a large part of the Lynn population that just cannot afford to spend $700 a week to send a kid to camp. Camp Rotary's goal is to raise enough money to be able to provide relief or in some cases even scholarships for people to go to these camps. And why Youth Management Services, I hope I have the name right, please don't smite me if I don't, did an awful lot in this regard this summer, and the Rotary Club decided to just take it one step further, having a fundraiser next Thursday night at the Lynn Museum from 5 to 7 to see if they can raise some money to make it even more possible for inner-city kids to enjoy the benefits of this camp. And a shout-out to both Rotary President Ray Bastorak and Rich Caudell, who's been the director of the camp for 25 years. They do great work, you know, and they ought to be commended, particularly Richie. Now, he's had this, you know, in his lap for 25 years, and it's a labor of love with him. He sacrificed a lot to maintain that directorship. And I just can't say enough about them.
Yeah, both guys, really great people, quality people. Well, let's talk about Jason McCush, the Lynn Tech teacher, recognized, and a story on him in the Wednesday paper.
It couldn't have happened to a nicer guy as far as I'm concerned. Jason, he's a defensive coordinator for the football team. And all you got to do is stick a microphone in front of James Runner's face, and he'll talk forever about how valuable he is in that regard. But and he's a teacher. He's a very good English teacher. But what really sets him apart is the amount of devotion and time he's put into the Skills USA program over at Tech, which helps kids, you know, be job productive and after they get out and gives them job skills and things like that. That program has won awards. People have really found themselves in these programs and have found things about themselves that they never knew before. And it's a type of an award that the Harvard Club gave him, the Teaching and Excellence in Teaching Award, that it's... everything, and that includes all the things you do outside the classroom. You know, if there's ever an example of a guy whose day does not end at 3 o'clock or 2:10 or whatever, that it's Jason. He's going well into the evening and sometimes beyond, and good for him. He deserved it.
Yeah, and it's great. I don't know the specifics of that particular program, but I do know that programs like that, I'm kind of maybe connecting dots more than I should be, but they're good for students, those students, because of the extra skills that they pick up, and that, you know, the navigating the work environment and so on. They're just very important stuff and the extra step that people really do need these days.
And to make it even better, not only does he do this, but he is very enthusiastic about promoting it. We've gotten a lot of calls from Jason, a lot of emails from Jason, you know, telling us of the kids and their success in the program. They, you know, from a practical point of view from us, they make great stories. Yeah. But the effort that he undertakes to promote them and make sure that the kids get credit, as an old sports guy, I know that the best coaches don't just coach. The best coaches take care of their kids in any way that they can. And those are the ones that you generally see. They get the results. They might not win the championship every year, but the kids come out, they play, they have a good experience, and it's not just X's and O's to them.
Absolutely. Well, we're with Steve Krause. Steve, you mentioned being an old sports guy, and I got to ask you one last question. It's on baseball. The playoffs are underway in Major League Baseball, and the Cubs are in the National League Championship Series.
Are there any goats around? I think it's theirs to lose. I really do. I mean, looking at what's left, they may have a tough time if they play the Dodgers because of those two pitchers, Kernshaw and Greinke. But I think their lineup is solid from top to bottom. They play great defense. They hit. You know, they're almost unbeatable in Wrigley. Yeah. So I look at the American League and I see two very flawed teams over there, whichever ones there are. I don't see any of the four teams left beating the Cubs. This isn't to say that they're going to win, because they are the Cubs. You know, they're like the Red Sox were back in the day when they just looked so stacked, and then some crazy, fluky, freaky thing would happen, and they'd lose. And I think the Cubs have inherited that mantle. But I think if you go strictly by the talent on the field, it's theirs to lose.
All right, Steve, good talking with you, and we'll check back again next week, and thanks for your time.
Thank you, Bill.
Steve Krause, news editor of the Daily Item in Lynn on MSONewsSports.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Klickstein, general manager at Moore GMC in Danvers. Did you know that we're a family-owned and operated dealer that's been serving the North Shore since 1969? Our service department ranks as one of the best in customer satisfaction because we respect our customers' busy schedule and we do repairs as quickly as possible with the least amount of inconvenience to you. We are conveniently located off Route 128 at Exit 23, 80 High Street in Danvers. I personally invite all of you to come in, come visit us, see why our customers keep coming back for all their automotive needs.
Hi folks, this is Gerard Moynihan, and today I'd like to speak to you about the North Shore Student Athlete Program. Sponsored by Moynihan Lumber in conjunction with the Salem News, the Daily Item, the Newburyport Daily News, and the Gloucester Times. The program, now in its 24th year, celebrates high school students who excel not just on the playing field, but in the classroom as well. Male and female winners are chosen each month. All student athletes must be nominated by their coaches. Nominations for the program are made via email to nsstudentathlete@gmail.com. Youngsters who are nominated must have a B average or better. Monthly winners are then eligible to be selected as Student Athletes of the Year. Yearly winners and their families are recognized at a luncheon at the Salem Country Club held in early June. Please remember, all youngsters playing a varsity sport at any high school on the North Shore, public, private, or parochial, are eligible.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
And welcome back to North Shore Today. This is our little sports section as we gather near the end of the week. High school football gearing up Friday night. We have two games. The live video streaming game is Danvers and Beverly from Bishop Fenwick High School at 7 o'clock. And we have a radio game with Peabody playing at Lynn English on Friday night as well. There's also a story in the item today on their they do a football preview every Thursday on the front page of the sports section. And it's about Lynn Tech, which I did not actually realize this, but the last time Lynn Tech played in a game that was as meaningful as Saturday's game against Greater Lowell at Manning Field at 7 o'clock will be in 2011, when the Tech Tigers went 8-4, won the Mass Vocational Small School Championship. This time the Tigers have a chance to clinch the Commonwealth Athletic Conference small title for the first time since 1993. So they're off to a 3-2 start overall, 3-0 in the Commonwealth Conference Small League. So good luck to Lynn Tech on Saturday night as they play at home. And, of course, our big game last week saw Beverly lose in the last seconds to Marblehead. And Marblehead is, Marblehead is, who are they playing this week? Lynn Classical. That's right. They got Classical at home on Friday night. So Classical without a win so far this year. And Marblehead, undefeated right now in league play and in first place by a game over both. The winner of the Danvers-Beverly game stays in contention, basically, coming down the stretch. But whatever.
Well, yeah, there and the Northeastern Conference looked pretty good in postseason, or at least toward postseason play, with a lot of teams at 4-1. I talked with Gloucester football coach Tony Zerilli yesterday, and they're in the hunt. They play a resurgent Salem team that's coming on very strong. And that game will be on Friday night. That interview was posted with Tony Zerilli. And Bill, I want to commend the interview you did with the North Shore student athlete yesterday on Ollie Ebert, the quarterback for St. John's Prep. What an outstanding young man, a terrific interview, who obviously is very intelligent and gives nothing but credit to his coaches and his teammates for his success. A terrific interview.
Yeah, he's a really nice young man, and it's up on our website. We have We don't have the other interview yet with the female Moynihan Lumber Student Athlete of the Month, but we're trying. And hopefully we can get that up there soon, sooner rather than later. But we'll be working on that. So let me think here. Yeah, he's a special young man, and a very talented football player as well. And as I pressed him a little bit, he just doesn't know exactly where he's going to be next year, and who knows whether he'll be playing football or not. But he's a top football player in the area, that's for sure.
Yeah, and a lot of top games, as you mentioned, some great games coming up. And, you know, the playoffs are, what, 2 weeks away, I think.
Yeah, there's just one more week after this weekend of the regular season. So, in essence, Marblehead is really in the driver's seat here in this Northeastern Conference North Division following the win last week. But there are other things. As we mentioned, the Tech title, we've got the Prep undefeated, we've got Bishop Fenwick undefeated in football. So there's a lot of pretty good stories. And you got Gloucester rolling in the Northeastern Conference South Division as well.
Doing pretty good, and they are right now, and they're in their second week of practice. You know, due to the bye last week, the unintended bye. So they're preparing. Bill, when you get done with sports, let me know, because I've got something I want to mention. Something that's kind of cosmic.
All right, here's the last thing. Just a little shout out, and I know we're missing people on this, but in Marblehead this week, the volleyball team and the girls' soccer team knocked off Peabody teams that were undefeated. Now, the volleyball game a couple of nights ago, both teams came in at 10-0, Marblehead and Peabody. Marblehead came out on top. We have a post on that on the website. So it was a huge victory for Marblehead, because Peabody had been really dominant in volleyball in the Northeastern Conference for a number of years. So a salute to Marblehead volleyball this week. And also their girls' soccer team under Coach Andy Bubb defeated Peabody last night, giving Peabody girls' soccer team their first loss of the season. And Marblehead does have a loss. I think they have a loss and a tie. But nonetheless, it was at Marblehead last night, and a huge win for the Marblehead girls. And again, if you have any notes or tidbits that you'd like to share with us, you can email them to us at msonewsports@gmail.com. msonewsports@gmail.com. We'll try to track down those stories. But those are the kinds of stories and things that we'll try to be putting up on the website with the features, and we'd have a bunch of videos from the volleyball game from earlier this week. And that's our sports section, Rick.
Well, almost. I want to mention our scoreboard hotline, Bill, because I did talk to Coach Cirilli, who said that he was, I forget where he was, but he was somewhere Saturday listening to the Beverly Marblehead game and heard the last quarter. And he was taking notes. He had coaches at the game, of course, scouting, but he was taking notes, and he said he heard it on our Channel A. He wasn't able to view it because I believe he was in the car, but I have heard that. So I want to mention, if any coaches do listen to North Shore Today or anything else and don't have the word, our sports scoreboard hotline is 978-325-3638, and we'll take tips as well from normal folk, but 978-325-3638, again, 925. Why am I saying 925? Can I start this again? Can we erase?
Well, I think we're cursed. That scoreline is cursed. Well, let's get the right number.
Let's try it again.
Yeah.
I know. I've given out the number wrong so many times.
You're going to do
here
the,
it is.
Is this going to be the right number? So I just wanted to let folks know whether they should be paying attention now or just wait for the next number that you have for them. Is this the right one?
If it isn't, you're going to have to do some really good editing.
Okay.
978-325-3638. That is the right number. Okay.
And the way that works, it's just like a voicemail thing where if you're a coach, you can call in the score and we use your voice clip.
Yeah, listen to Dave Jellison's. Dave's was perfect. Hi, this is Beverly Coach Dave Jellison. Blah, 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 blah. You got the details, and it's in and out. It takes just a few seconds to call in your scores, and we're happy to post that and give the kids some recognition. And finally, Bill, cosmically, I check out some astronomy websites each day, Astronomy News, and there is speculation. The Kepler telescope has discovered thousands of exoplanets. There is a planet that Kepler has been studying after 15 years of study from ground-based astronomers that has something orbiting a star. It's something orbiting a star that doesn't fit the parameters of any planet they've ever seen before. So it is really exciting. They are checking it out to see what kind of structure this could be, whether it's a conglomeration of comets, whether it's an asteroid, whether it's a planet they've never, ever been able to discover before in terms of its physical characteristics. But there's also speculation that it could be some kind of construct. However, don't worry about it. It's 1,500 light years away. So even if it's something that is artificial, the light for that to get here takes 1,500 years just to go from there to here. So if ET is calling us and we answer, it'll take 3,000 years for the round trip to get back to ET. So nothing to worry about, but kind of interesting if you're looking at that sort of thing from time to time.
Is there loud music playing from this construct?
I think they've got to get a different telescope to listen in for that. They're actually going to train ground-based radio telescopes now to try to pick up some kind of other light spectrum signals. They've done it with spectrography up to this point, but I don't know. It could be some kind of new music. I don't know. But the idea is that they've ruled out every kind of natural explanation for whatever this thing is.
So in other words, we'll never know in our lifetime, because we're only here for a few more years, right? Is that what we're saying?
No. They could interpret the data now to come up with something that, you know, some kind of hypothesis as to what this thing is. It's probably a planet, but it just has some peculiar features that they are unable to decipher with all the instruments that are available to chemists and physicists, and astronomers up to this point. And one of the speculations by those who search for extraterrestrial intelligence, like the City Institute out in California, is that there are three types of civilizations. And one of them that is at least 1,000 years advanced more than we are has the capability, again, speculation in science fiction to this point, has the capability of building a construct big enough to harness the energy of a star around the star. So, you know, that's just total speculation. But in terms of astronomy and physics, it's very interesting that this thing is brand new. And, you know, that's the nature of science.
Well, I'm going to just continue to search right here on the North Shore for civilization and intelligence. I'm going to be dedicated to that.
Don't go to a faculty meeting.
All right. That's Rick Moore. I'm Bill Newell. And again, our football broadcast this weekend, Friday night, it's Beverly and Danvers from Bishop Fenwick at 7 o'clock, live video streaming. And then on Saturday, no. There's no game Saturday. Then the other game on Friday night is Peabody and Lynn English from Manning Field in Lynn. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell, and this is North Shore Today.